Well, I did something last week I don't know if I've ever done before. And at least to this extent, I hyped my message for today. I said I'm not a pomp and circumstance kind of guy, but I did tell everybody that I think this is maybe the most important message I've preached in the last year or two coming up today. Boy, have I felt the pressure to on this message, but I just want to share what God has put on my heart, has been on my heart for some time. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today, and let's pray that God prepare our hearts. Father, we come to your word. We come reverently, and we come hungry. We just ask that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Lord, that you would speak to us a direct word, a clear word, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd open up to John chapter 18, the title of my message is called, What is Truth? And I think it's a message that we need to hear because of the times in which we live. So John chapter 18, we're going to begin. Jesus is on trial. He's in a conversation with Pilate. And let's begin with verse 36. Jesus is giving a response to a question. Pilate said, what have you done to deserve being up here, you know, being put on trial? So verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Pilate therefore said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? Pilate asks a very, very revealing question in response to Jesus talking to him. He said, what is truth? Now, I find this question both transparent and disturbing. It's transparent in that he was honest enough to admit, I'm clueless. I don't know what real truth is. What is it, Jesus? And it's disturbing in the fact that here he was a governor of the Roman province of Judea. He was a political leader in a position of great influence, and he was clueless as to what real truth was. Aren't you glad that our politicians today know what truth is and are walking in it? What? Especially after this week. Now, understand something. Pilate was honest enough to admit that I don't know what real truth is. But yet he is in a position of influence that will impact a lot of people. And like Pilate, if you and I do not have a clear understanding of what real truth is, we will make some very, very poor decisions. Think about it. Pilate had the Son of the living God standing before him. He had truth in the flesh standing before him. But because he didn't recognize truth, he didn't recognize Jesus for who he was. And rather than bowing down to Jesus, he had him, turned him over to be crucified, to be beaten, and to be crucified. The only difference was that he didn't recognize truth, because if he had, he would have bowed at the feet of Jesus. If you and I cannot recognize what real truth is, we will make decisions that rather than bowing at the feet of Jesus, we'll make some very poor and painful decisions in the days ahead. Jesus, what led up to Pilate asking this question, Jesus made some profound statements to Pilate about truth. And we would do well to learn from them. There are three things I want to bring out, and I want us to hear it and resonate with us, because the rest of the message sort of hinges on this. Go back to that verse, if you would, Miranda. Jesus answered, said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus is admitting that he is a king and he has a kingdom, and his kingdom is not of this world. All right, you understand that? Then toward the end of verse 37, he said, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to what? Testify of what? The truth." The truth of what? Not the truth as man knows it, but the truth that of his kingdom. There's a big difference. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus said, "I'm a king, I have a kingdom, and there's a truth that operates in this kingdom. And I've come to earth to communicate this truth to you." And he goes on to say, "Everyone who belongs to the truth," what? "Listens to my voice." People who have embraced the truth, not earthly truth, but the truth of his kingdom, hears his voice and walks according to his truth. Now, it's very, very important that we understand that there's a difference between earthly truth and heavenly truth. Because Jesus said, "I've come to communicate this new truth," or this kingdom truth to you. Only those who hear his voice will walk in this truth. John 14, verse 16 and 17, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth." Here we got the Trinity in action: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. "Whom the world," what? "Cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you and he will be in you." Jesus calls him what? The Spirit of what? Those who know Jesus Christ, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. The Spirit of truth comes and abides within us. And our eyes are open to the truth of God's Word, which is the kingdom truth that Jesus came to present. Are you with me so far? It is the truth of God's kingdom that does two things. Number one, that leads us to salvation. Earthly truth cannot lead you to salvation. Kingdom truth leads you to salvation. And secondly, it teaches us how to live here on earth. Apart from kingdom truth, we do not know how to live and operate here on earth in a way that will get us to heaven. It is a truth that cannot be understood until we apply faith to it. You see, if we try to reason this truth out in our mind, because it collides with earthly truth, and if we try to reason it out in our mind, well, that's stupid, it doesn't make sense, and we'll reject it. Therefore, this truth can only be implemented when we apply it by faith. There are two kinds of truth operating in the world today. Now, I'm giving you my terminology in this type of thing, all right? It's my sermon, so I get to give you my terminology. There are two types of truth, in my opinion, that are operating in the world today. One is what I call cultural truth. Cultural truth changes with the times and the culture. A perfect example of that is the issue of marriage. How many of you know 30, 40 years ago, if you would have said, "Yeah, same sex, you know, people will get married to the same sex. It'll be legal. You would have just laughed your head off. I mean, that was so far from reality, right? But as the culture changed, so does the earthly truth of marriage. You understand? Cultural truth is subjective. In other words, what I think may be truth, what is truth to me may not be truth to you, but kumbaya, that's okay. In cultural truth, sin is irrelevant. What I think is right, you may think is wrong, but that's okay. What's right to me is right, what's wrong, or what's right to you is right, that's okay. We'll all live together happily ever after. Understand this and hear me clearly on this. Cultural truth will damn a person's soul to an eternal hell. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 says this: "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth that Jesus came and He died to communicate to us, there will no longer remain a sacrifice for sin." The second kind of truth that is operating in the world today is what I call kingdom truth. This is the truth that Jesus came to communicate and died for. This is the truth that is found in God's Word. Understand that this truth is constant. It never changes with the culture. What was true 2,000 years ago is just as true today. It is absolute in that the same truth applies to all men. Sin is sin, whether you're in America or Europe or Africa or Asia, it doesn't matter. Sin is sin. And with kingdom truth, sin is relevant. And sin must be repented of in order to understand the truth. And I've given you scripture references in your notes. You can look them up later. And really, to get the full extent of this message, you really need to do the Bible study of looking up all these scripture references I've given you. But understand this about kingdom truth. Kingdom truth is from God, and it will save one's soul from an eternal hell. I love the psalmist in 119, 160. He just says, "The sum of thy word is truth." The sum of thy word is truth. So let's take a look at truth in today's world. Every one of us must choose which truth we will embrace and follow in this life. Because these truths are not compatible with one another. They conflict with one another, and they will take us down two very different roads. Jesus put it this way, that wide is the path, and many who walk it, the road that leads to destruction. But narrow is the path, and few who choose it, the road that leads to everlasting life. The truth that we choose to walk out will be seen in our actions far more than our words. In other words, we can know the Christianese, we can know the religious talk, but whether we're really, what truth we embrace will be seen in how we live our lives. 1 John 3:18, he says, "Let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and what?" Not cultural truth, earthly truth, but let us love in the truth that Jesus came and died for and communicated. Now let me tell you what stirred this whole message, what I'm going to be saying here in the next few minutes. This is very, very scary to me. Many people in the church today, because they do not know God's truth well enough, that they are consciously and unconsciously embracing and walking in cultural truth. over kingdom truth. As a result, their actions and their lifestyle contradict Bible teaching. Even though they may show up in churches on Sunday morning and raise their hands and talk the talk, they're not walking the walk. It is taking them down a path that will eventually lead to some very, very severe consequences. Paul asked the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 7, he says, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" Here's a Galatian church, people who were spiritually strong and running the race of their faith really, really well, and then all of a sudden, things happened, and they got sidetracked. And they were no longer running well, and they were no longer walking in kingdom truth, but they've embraced cultural truth. Many church leaders today are embracing cultural truth, leading many astray. Now, that's a strong statement. I've heard of pastors who counsel people that the Word of God is no longer relevant for today. I want to share with you a very, very disturbing story. I got an email from our general superintendent, Dr. George Wood. And this is what he said. He said, "We'd like to make you aware of an issue currently being discussed in the Assemblies of God National Office's hometown of Springfield, Missouri, which could impact you. The Springfield City Council recently appointed a 15-member citizen task force to research a proposal that would add protections for gay and transgender residents to the city's non-discrimination ordinance. On April 22nd, fellow Assembly of God pastor John Lindell," he's one of the leading pastors in the city of Springfield as far as the size of the church, "this panel asked him to come to address this group, this 15-member panel. And the name of the panel, of the group, is called the Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Task Force. They asked him to come and offer a theologically conservative viewpoint on the issue of the sexual orientation and gender identity ordinance." And this is what the general superintendent says. He says, "Pastor Lindell's words were biblically but loving. Recognizing homosexuality as a sin no greater than any other with which we all struggle." A transcript of Pastor Lindell's speech can be seen in full on his website. And if you would put, it's johnlindell.net, which is the first website, you want to write that down. In response to what he was asked to do, he came, I've read what John Lindell, what he spoke, at this meeting. It was biblical and it was loving. In response to what he communicated, 23 local pastors from a variety of denominations drafted a letter which was published in the Springfield News Leader claiming Pastor Lindell's comments were hateful and outside of scriptural context. The full letter is available at that second website. You can look up their response to John Lindell's speech. Also on the first website of John Lindell, after that letter was printed in the paper, our general superintendent wrote a response to the 23 who wrote the letter because they were accusing John Lindell of misusing scripture. And I love our general superintendent. You need to read all three letters. Read John Lindell's, what the 23 pastors said, and our general superintendent's response to that. Now, if you're somebody in the community of Springfield, Missouri, and you're thinking about going to church, and all of a sudden, you're reading the paper, and there's a paper in the letter from 23 pastors blasting one pastor, telling, you know, how he's misusing Scripture and how hateful he is, you would think that one pastor's a kook. I mean, after all, can 23 pastors be wrong? Yeah. Read all three letters from John Lindell, from the 23 pastors, and from the general superintendent. Many church leaders are embracing cultural truth, leading many in their congregations astray. Jesus said of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, in Matthew 15:14, he said, they are blind guides of the blind, and they what? They both will fall into a pit. Now, if you do not know and cannot discern the difference between cultural truth and between kingdom truth, by human nature, there's a tendency to want to follow cultural truth because it's easier. Well, I'll just get to that in a minute. Choosing cultural truth over kingdom truth reveals two things. Number one, it reveals a disregard of biblical teaching, a blatant disregard for the truth of God's Word. And secondly, it reveals a deafness to the Holy Spirit's voice. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, that He will come and teach you in the ways of God. I'm concerned not only for the people out there who may someday walk through the doors of a church and believe what their pastor is telling them, but there are many pastors out there who are choosing to embrace cultural truth, and when it conflicts with the kingdom truth, they go with cultural truth. Let me tell you why it matters so much. If we do not make a conscious effort to know and to walk in kingdom truth, we will, by human nature, compromise it by choosing cultural truth. First reason is because it's easier. It's easier. There's less resistance because more people are doing it. It will cost us less. It will cost less to walk in cultural truth. And it will make more sense to our natural mind. We will reason it out. We will rationalize it. But we got to understand that it is not a truth of this world. Kingdom truth is the truth that comes from a different kingdom, a different world. Do you understand? And Jesus wants us to live and abide by these truths of His kingdom. Next week, I haven't decided, but I may be preaching a kind of a follow-up message on the blessings of walking in kingdom truth. Because I made this list. I don't know if I can get through it in a week. There is extraordinary blessing, and Jesus knows that and understands it and has communicated that. But people today aren't willing to pick up their cross, crucify their flesh, and follow kingdom truth. Because it's easier to follow cultural truth. And after all, just about everybody else is doing it. Understand this, that kingdom truth comes with a price. Jesus said in Mark 13:13, He says, "You will be hated by all because of my name." How many here like to be hated? Nobody does. We all want to be liked. We all want to be loved. But you got to understand, if we're going to walk according to kingdom truth, when it clashes with earthly truth or cultural truth, something's got to give. Either we're going to compromise and follow cultural truth so that we can be part of the group and be accepted, or we're going to swim upstream when everybody else is coming downstream. And people are not going to like it. And you know why they're not going to like it? Because we will walk in light. Not because we're anybody special, but because the truth of God's word says that those who walk in his word will walk in light. And our light will expose the darkness. And people don't like to have their darkness exposed. When it really costs us something to follow Jesus, how many will follow? How many of us will follow? And by the way, getting up out of bed and coming to church on a Sunday morning isn't the cost I'm talking about. It will be far easier to claim a version of truth that is culturally acceptable. And to do so is to make us like Esau, trading our birthright for a bowl of stew. But understand that kingdom truth comes with great, great reward. And I'll go into maybe more detail next week on that. The rest of Mark 13 says this. Jesus said, "You'll be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end, what? Shall be saved." I want to give you two reasons why it's so very important that we hold on tight to kingdom truth. Number one is that kingdom truth is going to be vilified. It's already being vilified. 2 Peter, do I have that verse up there, Miranda? 2 Peter, oh, you're so good. "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as they will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive opinions. They will even deny the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Even so, many will follow their licentious ways, and because of these teachers, the way of the truth will be what? Maligned, ridiculed, mocked, vilified." That's what maligned means. There will be people who claim a form of godliness but yet deny the power thereof. And if we are not people of the Word of God and we don't recognize the kingdom truths that Jesus teaches, it is going to be easy to be led astray by those preaching a cultural truth and mixing in a little bit of Scripture. Remember, the greatest enemy to Jesus wasn't the lost, it was the religious. And I believe in the days ahead, the greatest enemies to the true church will be the religious. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 5. It says, "Ah, you who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, you who are wise in your own eyes and shrewd in your own sight." There are people today that are calling light darkness and darkness light. And understand, many of these people are educated. They will quote Scripture. They will put it in a way that can be very convincing. Very convincing. But yet, it is in violation of God's Word. And if we do not know and do not understand what God's Word truly teaches, people today are going to buy into this cultural truth. Now, I can stand up here and do my very best to preach God's truth to you, but that's only for about 40 minutes on a Sunday morning. We got to do better than that. We have to give ourselves to reading and studying the Word of God and understanding the kingdom truth as Jesus taught it and died for it. All right? You see, it would be easier if you're standing watching these 23 pastors blast that one pastor. It'd be easier to go side with the 23. Oh no, I wouldn't deny the truth. Peter didn't think he would deny Jesus either. But in the heat of the moment, we all know what happened, don't we? And in the heat of the moment, if we don't have a clear understanding of kingdom truth, we will find it easier to come over here and be part of the crowd and travel that wide road if we continue down it. It won't be pleasant. So why is it so important to hold on to kingdom truth? One is that kingdom truth is going to be vilified. I pray for revival in America. I pray that God's Spirit would be poured out. I pray that there would be, in a sense, a winding back of the clock to God's Word. Prayer is in the schools, and God's Word is honored in our nation, and the Ten Commandments can be hung up anywhere that it wants to be. That's my prayer. I don't know if I see that happening in our country. I don't think our country is going in that direction. I think it's going in the other direction, which tells me that it will be God's Word will continue to be vilified. I don't know if those of you who were here when Kamal Saleem spoke, he's very much in the loop on the issue of terrorism in America and so on and so forth. And certain circles of government, Christians are put on a higher category as terrorists than actual terrorists. In some circles, Christians are viewed with that great a threat. Are we going to stand with the truth if and when things get more difficult in this country? There is a danger of following cultural truth. It is the kingdom truth that will bring peace into our life and blessing into our lives and purpose and direction and so many things. Again, I may talk about it next week. It only gets better after we die. But there is a cultural truth that are leading people astray and will cause people to fall into a pit and will bring destruction into their lives, will bring heartache and grief into their life, not only now, but if they take it to an extreme for all of eternity. The second reason, and I'll close with this, why we hold on tight to kingdom truth. It is because it is the standard of judgment. Now, understand this. There will be a day that we will die if the Lord doesn't return first. And we have to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of our life. If we are a Christian, our sins are forgiven, but we have to give an account, and we'll be rewarded for what we've done for Him. And what we have not done for Him is hay, wood, stubble, all that will burn up. But there, that is called the judgment seat of Christ. Then there is something for those who have rejected Christ called the great white throne of judgment. That is, to me, the scariest thing in all of eternity, is to stand before Jesus Christ at the great white throne of judgment, knowing that you rejected Him, that you chose cultural truth over kingdom truth, and now you have to give an account. So what is the measuring stick? Everybody has their opinion of what it takes to go to heaven. There has to be, God created mankind, there has to be a common measuring stick for all of mankind. Some people think, well, you know, I was a nice person, so I should go to heaven. What is the measuring stick? Let's read. Jesus said, I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them. Remember, what words of Jesus? He came to what? Teach what? Kingdom truth, right? For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. On the last day, the word that I have spoken will serve as judge. The kingdom truth that Jesus came and taught in his earthly ministry and died for, and we are called to live out in the Word of God, that is what is the measuring stick for eternity. When we stand before the Lord, our opinions are going to go out the window. It doesn't matter what we think. The only thing that matters is if we embraced kingdom biblical truth and we devoted our lives to the very best of our ability to walk according to that truth. And if we do, we'll be rewarded accordingly. But if we thought, well, you know, that was just too hard of a road. Or after all, the church I went to taught this stuff. The blind leading the blind. My heart is for you and I, as long as you're part of this church, for the rest of your days, that you make a conscious decision like Joshua did. As for me and my house, we will serve God. Serve the living God. And that means we have to choose kingdom truth regardless of the price or the cost in the days ahead. And we can't choose it if we don't know it. So we have to give ourselves to the studying of God's Word. And we must show ourselves approved. The best way to understand, as I've been told, the way that they train people to spot counterfeit money is to know the original so well, it's easy to spot counterfeit. If we know the Word of God so well and we know the truths of God so well, when something counterfeit comes along, it's going to look close, but we're going to recognize it as a fraud. And we're not going to buy into it. We're not going to accept it. We're not going to travel down that path. Now, as a pastor, I can preach my guts out to the best of my ability, but it's an individual decision that we each need to embrace and walk out on a daily basis. And my prayer is that this message would awaken us to the fact that there is something going on in our culture today that many, many people are buying into with extraordinarily dangerous consequences in this life and even for all of eternity. So my question, and I'll close with this. Number one, have you embraced the truth of Jesus Christ? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You know, people walking out kingdom truth, they're going to be made jokes. I don't watch a lot of Letterman or Leno or any of that stuff, but I'm already seeing conservatives, people of morals and values and integrity being mocked and ridiculed. Letterman, I've only seen it two or three times recently where, and I have to turn the channel every time, they have the Stooge of the Night. And it's a politician, and everyone I've seen has been a very conservative politician who has morals and values. they are mocking people who walk in what God's Word teaches. God forgive us when we laugh at that as though it's humor. Which side are you going to be on when it comes to having to choose? May we choose wisely. Let's pray.